The opening prayer for today's Mass states something very profoundly. It tells us that God gives the greatest demonstration of his power when he shows his mercy. When we see the mercy of God in action, then we see the greatest demonstration of his power. This is not normally the way that we might conceive of a great demonstration of power of anyone. We normally think of a great demonstration of power as a demonstration of might, of strength. In this case, God's showing his demonstration of his tenderness, his forgiveness. This is the greatest demonstration of the power of God. Who can forgive sins but God alone? Even the Pharisees ask this question. Because there is no one aside from God who can do this. Thus, you and I can go to Lourdes or Fatima or any other place where there has been a history of physical healing. But there's nothing quite like walking into the confessional, confessing our sins properly, and then receiving the absolution of the priest, who bestows upon us that very precious gift of God's mercy. And anyone who has encountered this mercy of God, it's very hard to describe, really. It's hard to describe the demonstration of the power of God that happens in this great place. Obviously, the mercy of God is not simply demonstrated there, but there it is demonstrated par excellence. These are the ways of God. These are the ways of God which you and I are called to imitate. The mercy of God flows forth from the love of God, which is God himself. God is love. Love by its very nature cannot be contained in itself. Love must go forth. And God, who is love, has permitted his love to shine forth. When Jesus gave the good testimony before Pontius Pilate, as St. Paul talks about in his first letter to Timothy, we know that Jesus said that whoever hears the truth, or rather whoever is committed to the truth, hears my voice. We also know that he said to the apostles that, speaking of his impending passion, that the world must know that I love the Father. Thus, this great act of mercy that our Lord demonstrated when he laid down his life for us on the cross is the demonstration of the love of the Son for the Father and of the Father for the Son. And this demonstration of the love that originates in the heart of the Most Holy Trinity, this is that very same love of which we must be witnesses, the testimony that we must give to the world. We must testify again and again that the Son loves the Father and the Father loves the Son. There is no greater love. And that great love is what God wishes to bring to all corners of the world through our instrumentality. It begins when God shows mercy to us, when he pours out his mercy upon us. God chooses to show mercy on us, which means we must choose to receive the mercy of God. It is clear that we can say no to the mercy of God. When we say no, then we refuse to be witnesses. Then we become like Pilate, confused in mind, and asking skeptically, what is truth? There is no question about what truth is if we accept the testimony of God, which he wishes to place in our hearts. The more that he wishes to pour into our hearts and the more that we wish to accept, the more that we become those perfect witnesses which God wishes to demonstrate in us. And there's no one more perfect than his very own mother, whom received the maximum mercy possible. We talk about Our Lady being the perfect fruit of a perfect redemption after Blessed John Duns Scotus, meaning that she received the maximum mercy. No greater mercy God can show upon a creature than he showed upon the Blessed Virgin Mary. An unusual statement that, isn't it? As if we can put limits on God's mercy. But who can measure the mercy God has shown to the Virgin Mary? Who can measure that? What do we mean, after all, when we say that Mary is the mother of God? How can you quantify that? And yet, that's what we say. And we can say that Mary is the most perfect creature God could have created in any possible world. That there's no greater demonstration possible of God's mercy than this vessel of mercy. But it's not enough for this vessel of mercy simply to be a receptacle. Because love doesn't operate in one way. It's not a one-way street. Love is meant to be returned. And if we have had an experience of unreturned love, we know how painful that can be. This is a testament to the greatness of God's mercy, because despite the fact that men despise and reject him continually, he never fails to let his mercy shine forth. Jesus knew well when he laid down his life upon the cross that there would be many men and women that would reject his love. What a foolish argument advanced by those who imagine there is no hell, or that hell is empty. It would be nice, but hell is as populated more or less to the extent that men say no, refuse to be the repositories of his mercy. Refuse to return something. Refuse even to open themselves up. That's the extent that hell is populated or no. When I say no, I separate myself from God. It's that simple. When I say yes to God's initiative, then I open myself up to all possibilities, to the greatest happiness. So this woman, the Mother of God, she was not called simply to be a receptacle, but then she was to return this great love of God. And she did so in the greatest degree, uniting with her Son for the life of the world. And this is what love does. This is what love means. It is going out of oneself and therefore allowing the maximum fruit, supernatural fruit, to be born. This is what love is all about. This is what mercy is all about. And it is an extraordinary thing that you and I not only can be vessels of mercy, but we can be instruments of God's mercy. So, as we call Our Lady the Merciful Face of God, the Mother of Mercy, as we call her in the Salve Regina, so too, we are called to be those instruments of mercy, sharing in the fullness of the mercy of God that we find in the Virgin Mary. He has shown it to us through her. Thus, the nature of our response is to return to God through her. See, we make things a lot more complicated than they actually are. We love to complicate things, which is why we have confused notions about what power is and what truth is. Many people are very smart today. They have been gifted intellectually. But very often, they use this intellect of theirs to twist and turn arguments around, make all sorts of contortions. Whereas, true knowledge is always simple, is always joined with simplicity. So if God has shown mercy to me, then I have to be a reflection of that mercy of God. And that's what we can say is the theme of what is presented to us today. First of all, we have to exit outside of ourselves, just like God did, in order that you and I can be saved, that you and I can exist in the first place. We read one of the complaints of God through the prophet Amos in the first reading, that the Israelites, lying on their beds of ivory, stretched comfortably on their couches, eating the best lambs, etc., complaining that they improvised to the music of the harp, like David. Well, what was wrong with David playing the harp, King David? King David played the harp, and he was pleasing to God. He devised all kinds of psalms and hymns in praise of God. Well, so what was wrong with what they did? They didn't use the harp to praise God. They improvised, but it was not to return anything to God. This is what God was complaining about. Congratulating one another, commiserating with one another, but not receiving mercy from the one, not permitting themselves to receive mercy from the one who could, by his mercy, heal them. This is what the problem was. And likewise, in the gospel reading, that famous account of the rich man and Lazarus, which we know all too well. The rich man finds himself in the afterlife in the flames and tells good Father Abraham, oh, go warn my brothers that they won't come to this place of torment. But he had no concern for his brothers anymore, if he ever did. He said that not out of concern for his brothers, but of himself, that he would not continue in the torment or be tormented more, because he knew that his negligence, his refusal to show mercy, would continue to redound. His conduct, that is, would fall upon his own head and remain there. That's what he was concerned about, not about his brothers. And that's the way it is for those who say no. Now, Our Lady chose us. The Virgin Mary chose us in a very special way. God, you may say, has showed us a superabundance of his mercy. To those whom more is shown, more is expected. Thus, you and I are called, one, to be vessels in a particular way of God's mercy, and two, to show forth God's mercy in a very particular way. And you know what? There is no better way than bringing Our Lady to souls. We don't say, therefore, no, we don't want to engage in the relief of material poverty. But as helpful as philanthropy might be, what we are after here is the salvation of souls. That's real help to man. Yes, I need to be aware of the bodily needs of man, and I need to supply for them, but I had better be above all concerned about his spiritual welfare. And there's no greater good that one can do for the spiritual welfare of man than to show my fellow man the very merciful face of God. No greater good can I do than that. And that's what Our Lady wants of us, expects of us, asks of us. And so we ask our Blessed Lady to allow the power of God to shine forth in our hearts, so that he, in the way only he can do, through his most holy mother, remove the hardness of our hearts, to banish the word no from our hearts, so that our hearts and our lives will be one continual yes, and thus a perfect testament to the mercy of God and a testament to the love, the mutual love of the Father and the Son. Praise be Jesus and Mary.